Hello, you're joining us on a series of conversations with Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. If you're joining us for the first time, I'd like to explain the situation in the studio. We want to create a situation that Rav Lightman is giving a lesson to any person around the world, any group of people that someone decided that they have to study. It could be their country that decided. It could be and the organization, and they were privileged to sit and study. And Dr. Lightman is their teacher. What do we study today? According to what article? What theme? According to what? What's the theme? What do we learn? We are constantly studying about the connections between us, that we are in a state that we discover as something very special, unique. It's the very first time in history that we're reaching a general crisis, and many scientists, politologists, sociologists, psychologists discover that the problem is in the connection between the people, not what regime to change, not exactly what forms, new forms to build, not how to advance, like there are people who think that by technologies, that by new materials, we can advance, we can further or better advance. But all these things and more that we had as goals, that we thought that by this we'll transcend all of this problem. There are people who think that by great change in economics or policies or even the connection between the countries, that by that we'll reach something good. We see that even the connection between the countries doesn't help, regardless of how much they try to build it. And technology, regardless of how much we advance it, suppose now we'll have this breakthrough in technologies and we'll start really a new phase, a new era. Suppose we will be able to invite materials according to our desires, one kind of substance or another, and to make out of them the very same way I could take a piece of paper out of a printer, the same way I can get a new car out of a printer, a new cup, really to that extent. But nevertheless, how will it help us? Today we understand that that is not the problem. Even if we make the best possible conditions for a couple who don't want to be together, it won't help them if you put them into a castle. And if they love each other, then you can put them into a tiny, narrow place, and they feel great. Meaning, and we can say a lot about this and bring many examples and so on. We see this on children, that they're not drawn to something extra, something special, but what's interesting for them, what's appealing for them. They follow their desire. People follow their desire. And we have to see what are people's desires developing into. From generation to generation, we see that we were developing by our ego that developed us into a development where, first of all, we need food, sex, family, basic needs. A person can't go without that, obviously. And then we're constantly drawn to this, and we sustained it as much as possible. And then came technology that helped us free a part of a person's day to engage in other things. And then we started engaging a bit more as if in industry. Who in commerce, who in clothes industry, shoe industry, and commerce and science, and when there became more of a surplus in human society where not everyone had to be connected to the land, then people started engaging in writing and culture and sciences, and there was a desire for this, a request for it on all layers in society. And then we started organizing ourselves into countries and in further, bigger, more advanced industry. Started discovering continents and so on. A person, he is developing as a result of his desire developing, and the desire wants to conquer more and more, up to a point where he starts looking at the stars as to how can I reach them. And really we see that in the previous generation, in the previous century, in the past century, we went to outer space and into the ground and under the water and wherever we could go. But suddenly, we discover that in all of these inclinations, a kind of a stoppage, as if in everything that I'm engaged in, I feel like letting it be, and I become quickly despaired of it, like in my personal life. And then in the 60s of the 20th century, we've reached a state of a special generation that started disregarding all of these things and to tell us that what do we have as a result? We don't want anything. The flower children. Probably we saw it in the movies, and came some kind of wariness not far from the the hippies. And they started thinking about a different attitude toward life. They got a new desire. Why? What for? Everyone's going through this meat grinder into an abyss. We get nothing as a result, and we're made into machines for us to fulfill someone's desires, and we don't agree to that. And the desires, our desires, grew until we have reached general despair in everything that a person is engaged in. And even beyond the general despair, we see that there is a general inclination in our nature that we're reaching some kind of a depression, a situation where, what do we have in life? We live because we live, to fill ourselves up a bit. And so, why simply suffer? So a person doesn't get happiness from life simply so, from development, from flourishing, but he fills himself because he has no choice, meaning a person knows that there is no choice and that he's alive and that he has to live this way. And more people come to despair, and in a generation that has everything, what's lacking? You can work anywhere, get along any place, get a profession, engage in music, arts, you have plenty of circles, you can travel the world. We as if see that our desire that has developed, which is our entire essence, isn't aiming me at anything. It's there, it's enough for me. I'm not attracted to anything. And that's the special thing about our generation. And this is how we came to the general crisis. And what's special about it is that if we want to go through it, come out of it, then we can do it only by a very special solution, which is called finding happiness, the essence of life and the good, nice connection between people. We didn't expect this at all. We didn't await such an answer. But the general despair, this attitude of disregard towards everything in life. The crisis in the personal life and the general life in society leads us to a state where if we want to turn to the solution of the problems, we see that they were not necessarily aimed at loving each other, getting nicely together, but any problem that we want to solve. Suppose a problem in medicine. We stop believing doctors. They're developing different kinds of medicine and additional techniques because as a result of our ego, our medicine became a business. It's like the country has to put in a third of its budget into it, like into security. They have to put into the Ministry of Health. Third goes to the Ministry of Health. And it became a business. We don't believe doctors. We see that the medicine is not medicine, that we're simply they want to feed us with medicine, sell us in short. And around this, there are thousands of redundant exams with x-rays and thousands of doctors suddenly pop up instead of one doctor sending you from one to the other in order to make a living and plenty of problems. It's an example that there is lack of, you don't trust others. The ego corrupted everything. There's mistrust, the same between man and the government, between people. Everything's coming to a stop by me stumbling upon people that don't care about me, or vice of, or the other way around, they want to con me, cheat me. They have a benefit as a result of me getting the short end of the stick. There's no person looking at me with a good eye, but only through, let's say, everyone looks at me, in general, we might say, through their pocket. And all to an extent where people don't see people as people, but only as a benefit. I don't care who you are or what you are, but what do I benefit from you, you from me, and so on. This way we see that we all don't only lose the taste of life and the beauty that we can't buy, but we have reached a state that even in the family, we're not living. As it says, a person's enemies is his household. We reach a state where we can't get along in economics, in the financial system, in industry, in anything, because everywhere I try to put in my private calculation to such an extent without taking others into consideration that we have plenty of mechanisms in order to protect and cheat and for everyone to con each other and to cheat another for my own benefit, and not even for my own benefit, but for him to be worse off. And it's in culture and education and in kids' education altogether. We have a very big problem in this field because the connection between people, between teachers and parents, does not exist between parents and all the people in the country. All in all, turns out that the new generation, that if not we, then at least we could have put it somehow into something good, nice, but we can't. We see the deterioration, degradation of the generations, and every new generation that's born, they're miserable. I hear all around, why make children? For them to suffer. I see myself suffering, so what about them? They live in an even worse off world. That people say that it's about to end, and the natural resources are gonna end, and Atom war, and why? Only for me to feel good while he's still small, like him, a small puppy next to me. Better get a puppy, and that's it. And we see that in every apartment they have a dog. Why? Oh, you know, I love him, he loves me. Loyal, no problems. Also takes me for a walk. Meaning we see that people, for lack of connection between them, started changing the attitude, the relations between the generations, even possible to say parents and children, parents and their parents. The three generations usually are in live simultaneously in the world. We see that there is no relation between them, no connection between them, and also in a country. I'm in a state where today I choose, where is it easier to live, here or there? If I don't care about the language or some other conditions, then I go from country to country, and this way I'm not connected with anyone. There are people that all together travel in the different places in the world, and this is how they find themselves not belonging to any place, anything, but nevertheless, in a person, there is also this kind of a demand for warmth, nice corner, a feeling of home, because that's our nature. And besides, we see that the main thing is that we won't be able to solve the general problems, our organizational problems, where today we have to organize against this general crisis. And we point, we see that it can't be solved by the right kind of connection between people, because lots of it has to do with mistrust, and that people don't want to be good to each other. And then, as much as we used to think technically wise, in a cold technical fashion, that we have to make calculations in money, in merchandise, goods, and so on, and who stands behind that, we don't care. We've reached a state that it's not enough. It doesn't work that way. But we have to introduce warmth and trust and attitude in the relations between us. Besides the cold, dry calculations, some kind of an attitude beyond that, atop that, that we invest into each other, we make concessions towards one another, that we add from ourselves atop that dry, cold calculation, because our desire, which is our whole basis, is a desire. It's the desire to feel a fulfillment. And fulfillment is something that you can't measure by money. I enjoy a child's smile because I love him, and I won't sell him for any money in the world. And I can rely on the close people that will care for me as much as they can. And it's something that you can't buy with the money, that now I'll build for myself a hospital and different supporting circles. Meaning from the simple, ordinary life and the relation between people and the generations and the industry and commerce and education and security, and I'm not talking about that even, everything gets stuck in that spot where we lost the connection between us, that we're not taught how to sustain this connection. In the past, it used to exist. Naturally, it was, it worked between people, and people were connected, tied down to the soil, to their motherland, and so on, to their city, motherland. And today, these things, they became kind of blurry. And especially that we lose this definition, this term, the origin, home. And it's very important for us. Without that, life is senseless. That someone gives me and I give someone, even though it's hard for us to obligate ourselves today And even if we feel someone treating us nicely, we might even feel it as a burden. Why? What for? But we can't go, we can't continue in life without that. Especially that the crisis that we're undergoing is a multi-layered crisis. It's not only about money. Starting with the crisis, emotional crisis, internal crisis with the kids, with education, culture, health, security, and then it reached economics. Until it reached the most distant level from the feeling between people, we didn't really pay attention to it. We didn't care about giving up our feelings or what we feel, and we did. Whereas today we have no choice. We've reached the end. And if we make the opposite calculation from finance back to us, we see that if we don't build trust between people, we will not be able to exist. Really, we won't be able to exist because human society, it's not in vain that it becomes tighter, more closed. But it's probably some kind of a process that's in our development. We can watch it from the side, criticize it, scrutinize it. But it's a fact. What we want or don't want doesn't really matter. There's probably some kind of a process, a crisis in nature that we have to undergo and unfold this way. And so, we have no choice but to probably build ourselves as a more, a society that's more interconnected, warmer, connected to reciprocity, mutuality. As it says in the ancient sources of all languages and faith and beliefs, that we have to reach love, we have to come to love. Could be. This is also what people that live in nature say, that this is how they feel love on behalf of nature, the trust on behalf of nature, anything that's in it. And we who relate to it egoistically, through our egoistic glasses, we don't really identify it. I remember I talked to Jay Goodall. She lived for 14 years with apes. She got a Nobel Prize for her research and so on. We had conversations together and so on. I asked, what is the main thing that you felt when you lived among the apes, the animals in the forest, and there's nothing and no one, and they start accepting you as one of theirs, and that there's no problem, you can really be next to them, and so on. She says, love. This is what I feel that exists among them, even though they constantly, as if, scrutinize problems and yell. It's all in all in order to provoke love, and also towards trees, the forest, the heaven, the skies, the soil. I started discovering, and she wasn't that way at all. She told about the whole process she underwent. It was very interesting to hear it from there. That's what I wanted to hear from her. This is what she has discovered. A person who is there for so many years and came to that jungle from the American jungle, this is what that person gradually discovers, that nature is complete love. And if so, then here we really have a problem, that all the religions, all the beliefs, all the technologies, everyone and everything talk or say the same. That eventually a person at the end of his development has to reach a connection. Let's not call it love, suppose, but at least a nice connection with each other without which humanity cannot exist. And in order for us to probably understand the deficiency of it, the need of it, we undergo such a process. that we will reach love, that we'll develop it. Why? Because you can't necessitate, you can't obligate love. I can pay money, I can buy anything besides love. The different kinds and forms of good attitude, yes. But love, it's something that comes out of a very special attitude, relation that's disconnected, that differs from all other kinds of relations, feelings in a person. Suppose, I know, you attain something in life, you achieve something, and so on, and you're precious to me, and to the extent to which through you I can get something that's important for me, like that object that I wish to attain, you become as important for me as that object. And all these kinds of relations, they're okay. We can reach a situation where you and I, we develop trust toward each other, relations, and as long as I'm needy of you and you're needy of me, there's some kind of a trust between us where to that extent I can somehow rely on you. And also if suddenly someone comes and pays you more or gives you greater fulfillment, pleasure, then we lose faith. We lose the support. And so here we're reaching some kind of a very special situation. Our development has brought us to a feeling that we're interdependent, to the understanding of the necessity for a good connection between us, to an extent to which we have to love each other, otherwise there won't be the right kind of trust that is necessary in order to reach a good life. It's not in vain that each one of us has a few thousands of A-bombs behind his back and other forms of weapons that are roaming around space and is ready to jump everyone. It's not in vain that we have such cruelty and frustration and so on in order for us to understand that we have no choice. In order to reach a good life, we have to reach the opposite in our relations, really from end to end, and in between the love and the hatred that exists between us. In between, there's the crisis. What is the crisis that says you will not be able to exist on Earth at all if you will not invert your hatred to love? Because as long as you will not believe each other with your A-bombs and the banks and everything, and you'll start seeing this system as something round, integral, that's how it is, whether you want it or not, then you'll understand that the form in which the analogical system, integral system, that's completely, entirely interconnected and is in such a realization in all of the means of war and destruction, and you have no choice. You must invert up to a point where you won't have basic needs. It's not the problem about the children that you disregard and there's a crisis and you don't care, or this or that kind of life. You will simply not be able to provide yourselves with the necessary things. Where the financial crisis reaches a state where millions are taking to the streets, you'll not be able to get along. These people, even though there are plenty of people, maybe the countries will be extremely rich, like Germany, the States, doesn't matter. but because of lack of mutual consideration, you will not be able to provide for yourselves, for the unemployed, in order for them to be able to exist in a normal way, and they will take to the streets and break your face, meaning they'll break up the country. And it's regardless of how much money you have in your treasure, and if you have storages full of food, it doesn't matter. But the lack of consideration, the lack of mutual consideration like we have now, and they have half the world who are starving to death, and the other half is throwing away more food than you need for the other half. And they can't get along because of the lack of mutual consideration. And so we see that without reaching the form of love, suppose without this word that is too, already filthy, it's filthy with the different forms, with sex, with simply things that are said and done and so on, but let's say the full consideration, the being integrated into the deficiencies, the understanding of the needs, the fulfillment of a person's needs, the care for fulfilling it. This is something that we have to come to. Otherwise, earth, the life on earth, is coming to an end. Now, if this is the general law of man, then how can we start realizing it? Meaning, all of my desires, suppose 1,000 desires, I don't know how many, I have to organize them such that I don't use them in favor of myself, but in taking others into consideration, each and every desire, each and everything. I have to be connected with the whole world. I don't have to know everyone by face, but inside there has to be some kind of feeling that we are together, that I care like I care for myself. Now, I cared for myself. I made sure that I have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. I have to make sure that others also have a cup of coffee. To that extent, if others won't have, well, whatever it is that they want, I can't take for myself. Like a mom, until she feeds her child, until the child is healthy and everything's fine, she can't take care of herself. She's incapable. How could that be if he needs it first? So how, from our ego, can we reach such a tremendous change? And we see that it's something special, that we're living in special times, that never nature, history, or development demanded all of these conditions, internal and external, for us to change. We always went with our developing ego, and we really took this world apart and organized it like we want it, and now it is the first time that we have to take care of ourselves, bring global, integral education for ourselves, for it to bring us to mutual consideration, to be good kids, like in kindergarten. Because without that, the kindergarten won't exist. If we turn to experts in this field, sociologists, psychologists, they'll tell us we have to do it like we do. You can do it like we do it in a group. We'll organize a group and we'll start having some conversations. We'll undergo training, exercise, that they'll see how good it is to be together, how a person benefits as a result of people, of there being people who are who care about him, surrounding him, and in any field in life. It's not in vain that I started talking about the development of the ego. What did we say? That because we have developed, our egoistic desire has grown. Everyone got some free time during the day, and then could engage in commerce and industry and science and different things because our ego grew. Here, if we grow, not by our ego, but in the mutual concern, in a nice connection between us, then here too we can free ourselves of different problems and concerns, and to build an industry, only a different kind of industry, not technical, but internal, spiritual. Like then, we have developed the modern technological world as a result of the ego pushing us toward external development. If we will now take care of our inner development, we will develop a new world between us, an internal world. There will be technologies, new developments, everything, and the attitude between us we'll see. That it's a whole entire world and those nice relations between us, how many feelings and discernments there are to it, that for this we don't need the internet and different other media lines, I sell you, you sell me, and so on. No. Other connection lines, but we're connected emotionally, that we know that every person is related to anyone else through four people, four degrees of separation, and the butterfly effect, that we're all interconnected and so on. So if we invest into this connection between us, we invest this new attitude, then we relieve ourselves to a very unique kind of development, qualitative development in this connection, to a point where we start feeling each other like a mother feels her child. And by this, everyone becomes like all others. They're all included with him emotionally, and then he starts feeling what's going on in them, and they feel what's going on in him. And this way we reach mutual consideration, that's for sure, and an integral, general connection between us. And by this, we start maybe feeling what also Jane Goodall said, and all others, and all religions, that love is actually the general law of the world. That actually it is what exists in nature. And through this exercise in small groups, we'll be told by sociologists, psychologists, that it is possible through this exercise in the groups to reach these kinds of developments, personal, internal developments within a person. And then we'll really feel these inner forces that exist in everyone. And as a result, we'll feel the general love existing in nature. Undoubtedly, that if we improve the relations between us, we will not only reach a corrected common market, but everything else. A happy life, or today, 30% of the treasure goes to health, that from that maybe only a few percent reach the ordinary citizen, and another 30-40% or half or even more goes for security, for developing arms, and for other bureaucracies and different other problems. By this, we will relieve 90% of all the things that we do that give us, that bring nothing good, that are useless. And suddenly we will feel ourselves that really there's no point in us working so hard. Why? Like now, the crisis forcefully obligates, necessitates us, like all the crises, makes us change our attitude toward life. And this is how we have to understand that a person has to be free, that by taking each other into consideration, a few people that from their concern for others, a few people from humanity will happily make all the food, all the clothing, construction, all the necessary things. They'll also develop, we'll also develop machinery for that. But first of all, we'll make sure that we all have equally good things. Maybe we don't need atom energy that's so dangerous, atomic energy. It all depends on the mutual concern between people, which is an opposite direction to what we have today. And so, we think that it's a communistic approach. But Marx, he saw these things from the point of view, from an economical point of view. He was an economist. And according to his calculations, his whatever he has there on his capital book, simply according to the calculation, according to the information, that the data that he brings there, it's not that he was born a communist. He brings his calculation to the situation that if it will keep on developing this way, he existed already 150 years ago, if it will keep on developing this way, it has to reach an end. And true, that this is what we came to. We can agree with him or not, but he was smart. He saw the future. That the ego is coming to an end, that it has a limit to its development, and the end of its development is that it discovers how finite it is. And this is what's going on with us. And so, the quicker we understand this direction that the world, the global integral world, demands of us, and consideration, and mutual understanding, and love, and general love, that this is the general law of the whole of humanity, the whole of reality, then by this, we will more quickly reach the end of the general crisis and a good, nice life. Of course, it's worthwhile for us to take small steps for this, even for the well-being of our children, of the next generation. If we can educate them toward a bit of mutual consideration, they'll be a bit happier than we are. And in the meantime, that is also good. From what we talked about, we can already start seeing the kinds of systems that we have to build in order to make some easy changes in human society. Probably, we have to organize such groups, classes, courses, like you're participating on right now. Probably, first of all, of course, have to prepare teachers and educators to understand these things, to get a feel for these things, because it's impossible to teach love if you're not a part of it. It's impossible to operate a group of people, to give them different, to let them do different activities without feeling the benefit, how useful it is. Not only will you feel this internally, but you'll feel it everywhere, in your bank account, in everything, we see that people are going to protests. Why? They say, we feel good being together. It's interesting. It's the feeling of the belonging to the collective. Where do they find it in going out to yell together? Is that the right way? We can do it in festivals and such occasions like giant picnics and so on. People are drawn, are attracted to this. I also talk to those that are on Wall Street and in different places. Everyone says the same. We can't find any other place where we feel a belonging toward one another, that we have something mutual. So why not let these people a life in which they'll feel that they're really partners and connecting and feel themselves as one? So let's hope that on our course, on our activities, that we'll undergo together, each and every one of us will feel what a benefit he has. We are developing, we're going for this egoistically, seeing how much can we benefit as a result of being closer, how our world will be more secure, healthier, our kids won't suffer at school from hoodlums and thugs and drugs and the going to the street when they go out on the street, and we won't kill dozens of people every day on the streets when driving. We'll stop with we'll organize medicine, we'll organize things better for the elderly, for the young generation, and everything. We'll build our life to be as one warm family, beyond all differences, all problems, with our ego. We won't destroy it. Together, like in a family, where people understand, are correctly educated, they understand that everyone's different, and I have to take another into consideration, that love means that I love the other, even though it's like a newborn child. Even though he's not exactly in the form and the way and so on that I like to see him, I see on my grandchildren such forms that I can barely stand. But do I have a choice? I can't break them. I accept them. And I love them, even though on the inside I suffer a bit from it. And I understand that it's impossible to go about it any other way, that this is life. But how much do I benefit as a result if, despite that, I feel love toward them? And this is how we, through mutual consideration, and if they'll grow and suppose they'll feel that their grandpa that loves them doesn't really like these and those inclinations and habits about them, then as a result of their love toward me, maybe they'll change them. And then I'll see them as beautiful and good, like I want to see them. And they'll see me also a bit different, that I've changed by them, or because of them, because I want them to love me. And this way we'll reach a round world where each completes the others, that from by love each we evoke change in others, in order for them to be loved and for others to love and to love others. And this way we'll reach peace and perfection, and let's hope that our course will help us in doing that. That is the first phase in order to achieve this perfection, wholeness. Now let's move on to the questions of our anchor. 50 minutes. This is according to the article Matan Torah. You gave an example that you cared for, that you made yourself a cup of coffee. You have to make sure that others have that as well. I gave an example that half the world is starving to death, and the other half are throwing away two-thirds of what they use. So why do we have to live in such a world? Where does terrorism come from? Where do all the problems come from? Waste of energy. That people are littering earth. So on a personal level, let's speak about the example with a cup of coffee. Suppose now I want to drink a cup of water. And I want to act according to the example that you give. So how exactly do I do it? How am I supposed to realize it? On a personal level. Suppose now I'm thirsty and I'm going to get myself a cup of water. So what is the considerate fashion to do this? The considerate way is let's learn within the group what does it mean to be considerable, and inside the group start building such systems between countries that we will try to reach a more balanced level of life. Between countries, this I get. The example that half the world is hungry, the other half is throwing away food. This I get. But in the like with the example that you gave with the cup of coffee, I don't understand how I'm supposed to act here. Suppose I'm thirsty and I'm going to get myself a cup of water. No, we're not talking about this. So if you go and take a cup of water from the fridge, you ask me to, as a result of consideration, do you want something too? Yeah, when you're together with me, I won't go to the streets looking for thirsty people. So I said that it's as a result of building systems. Okay, clear. But we want to do this, meaning that after I undergo small changes, the understanding throughout the course, I learn about this and the different activities, I understand that society will be more balanced, that it will reach a uniform level of life, well, more or less uniform. At least that way, on the first level, let's reach a state where everyone will have X, Y, and Z. These things. We have to reach a state where in 5 years, everyone will have a roof over their head, everyone will have full food supply and clothes and everything that you need at home. Suppose what you need as a home, everyone has that. And we build all that from the surplus. Because if we make calculations, then we have 90% surplus to what we need. If I love you, come to me. Take half my closet. Believe me, I will feel no loss. I will feel no loss. Come to my closet, see what I have there. Or I'll get 10% less than what I do to my salary in favor of someone else. Eventually, we won't feel that either. I'm telling you, on a national scale or on a universal scale, on the global scale. First of all, there has to be education. It doesn't have to come through coercion, but willingly. The Bolsheviks, they did through coercion and see what they came to. We need to do it through education. We need at least some kind of an agreement between us that this is what we want. And each time that we do something like this, we show what we have achieved. Where are those rich people that give? Where are the poor people that get? Where are everyone balanced? How everyone's becoming happy? How by mutual participation we can get rid of the surplus that we don't need, that we're not simply creating thousands of medicine in vain simply for someone to get rich and to poison humanity? Why do we have to throw so much money and things for the army and weapons? Meaning there are many actions here that on behalf of nature, we have now reached in this new era, we've reached a point where we will have to correct this. We won't be able to hold, sustain these things. The crisis will reach a state where we will simply have to... You won't be able to sustain these systems that you've built. And this is why there's a crisis and the shattering. We'll have to simply shrink. And we have to see it all together, how the lack of relations between us brings us evil, and how the good relations suddenly they reveal riches. You truly discover a gold mine. But the education has to come first. Because we're not talking about there being surplus and a lack, but we're talking about that also in our inner tendency. This is, first of all, what we have to see, that in our tendency we have reached a state where we have to start connecting, because a system of connections between us is unraveling that necessitates us to be in a good kind of connection. And as a result, the crisis, the general global crisis, is revealed on different levels that we're engaged in altogether. The crisis is the lack of the normal consideration between people. This is the crisis in family and education and culture and everything, even, and it now reached economics, finance. It's the relations between us as a result of which everyone suffers. And this crisis, meaning the external connections between us, will not calm down until we'll put in heartly consideration between them, trust. Trust toward each other. Only then will we be able to develop systems that will compensate for this. We see that also in the external world, the global integral form is revealed, and also in our inner states. You can't escape. Only, it's not that that we've reached this state to begin with in vain. It's not that nature will now necessitate us to develop. It's interesting. We're in a state where before a person thinks and discovers the evil, before he decides that he has to change and that there is no choice, and that really it's a state of life or death before him, before that he does not come to the new kind of education. He sees that he has no choice, that he needs a new kind of education for himself. In order to educate himself, he has to build some kind of new systems. What can I help? So psychologists say the group can help you. Sociologists say different other systems. Politicians have to help. Teachers at school, educators, sports, everything. We have to build such systems that a person will start understanding the need to change in terms of schooling, education, and how to realize it in through activities. For a person to have different such places to do this, but it's interesting that for the very first time in history, it's not that we're developing in a blindfold way. Our ego is pushing us and we want to develop in whatever we want. Suddenly we discover this here, this there, with different things. We did this, we did that, and thousands of people are developing and selling each other what they made, and this is how they develop. No. Suddenly a general stop. And it's the very first time that we are making self-scrutiny. What did we come to? What happened? Our kids, they're no longer looking at us. They're saying as if, why did you make us all together? Why was I born? and we ourselves suddenly, as if we were running and running, and suddenly, oh, we come to a stop and we think, run where? Why? What for? What did I come to? I look, alas, it's a dry desert. There's nothing. There's nothing in this place. And it's interesting that now what we're demanded, what's demanded of us is first of all the understanding, the recognition of the situation, that the development throughout history to acknowledge, recognize it, and everyone has to come to that, because without that you won't reach mutual consideration towards others. In the past it were a few scientists, a few wise people, or a king, or something, or someone who used to determine laws, and that's that. Here, no longer. Here, it is a law where you must realize it in everyone. You can't do it any other way. This is why you need education, then. You can't bring them down and say, everyone does this, otherwise they get a fine, or otherwise prison, or otherwise something else. No. Here, a person has to introduce his heart into the connection with others. It's not a calculation of how much you for me and I for you, we buy and sell. This is the special new situation, and many people today write about this. They discover that there is some kind of a process that begins from zero in our times, and it is on a different level of development. And this is called the development of man, that we build among us this image. We build a mutual reciprocal system of connections. And it's impossible that somewhere in there, in the end of the world, or in the center of Manhattan or Europe, won't want. We must reach everyone, because if we're all interdependent, then you have no choice. And first of all, it has to be really a revolution in kids' education. The new generation, at least we'll see the new generation starting a new, nice, balanced life of mutual consideration, secure life where no one wants to sell drugs to the others or buy someone for prostitution or hit someone or something else. Look what we do with our kids, because it is a replication of ourselves. We cannot... It's a projection of ourselves. We can't do anything about ourselves. And this is also why we can't keep the children from being that way. How can I demand anything else from a child if I'm that way? So we look at the children. We see that they're escaping from our hands. They're worse than we are. But they're actually continuing the same direction. I can't say about them that they are evil. But if I am in descent, that they're a bit before me, because it's the next generation. So we have the opportunity to make self-scrutiny on this course, to undergo all the phases of the inner revolution and to shift to new rails, because life necessitates us to. And not because someone smart invents something, but to examine everything that we have from science, from psychology, from our day-to-day life, and to see how together to build a new world. That actually we're on a special course for this purpose. Can I ask? I just want to remind you that I once gave you, not you, there were many people here, 10 or I don't know how many, and I gave a conversation about how today a person is a slave to industry, to work, and how he has to completely change his attitude toward life to see himself free, vacant, and filling his life by mutual consideration and inner development, which are one and the same. You remember? Not long ago, December 2011, we had here this round table in the middle of our studio, and this is where we talked about this. So I think that it is good to add this conversation to this, or change it a bit and to introduce it to this course. Maybe you can give us a new conversation, because we can't use it. The theme is excellent. So maybe we can make the next meeting about this. I think that it's better for it to be in the same format for us to use it. There were many distractions there. Okay, another question about this. When today, first of all, I have to point out that today, on today's lesson, I felt, and I'm sure that also others felt the same way, that as if, let's put it this way, that many more times throughout what you talked about, as if found myself either a bit excited or smiling, because the topic is the relation between people, attitude between people. Okay. Or that we're gradually getting into this course also between ourselves, and then we see that there is the inner relations between people, which is the main thing. I think that what we talked about today is pretty fundamental for the whole course. That here, there are plenty of such things upon which the course is built, that the course is based on, built on. Today, I talked about the reason for why do we need this. The article that's printed is Matan Torah. As is, I didn't write anything. And look that maybe. And this is how I give it. Meaning I take off from the upper roots to several branches and then talk. So I wanted to ask. Today, in your words, I felt very well, and it was also very charming, this explanation about the new relations between people and the examples that you gave about children and the threats they face. I very identified with it as a dad. What I'm trying to say, bottom line, is that I'd really like to live in a world like you've described today. But there's another feeling that came in parallel, came up, arose this feeling. It says that a person's desire is evil to begin with. You're building on a person's desire to suddenly become good. There's like this fundamental assumption that this creature, who is basically an egoist, suddenly undergoes some metamorphosis and he becomes really sweet. No, he enjoys using his ego in an opposite way. Oppositely. He sees these examples around him and also does the same, because society, and this is already a completely different theme. How do we really bring a person to the realization of his ego in the good direction? So there's support here on behalf of society. Influence for the better, influence for the worse, meaning reward and punishment. How do we build the support from the children, that they appreciate their parents or don't? We play with man's ego in different ways from all around, that we organize around the person. An environment, there are a few levels to the environment. There's a man that is like this cup, suppose. And there are several levels to a person. Four levels of development. And I have to build an environment around these four levels, like a cylinder. I have to influence him through his children, for the children to look at their parents, and the parents will feel that the children are looking at us and examining me and appreciating me to the extent or according to how good I am toward society. You know how that shakes a person up? The same with neighbors. At work, the same. And the country, the same. Meaning everywhere. And also some subsystems. Everywhere we have to build around the person, and not in a way that it's like a prison that he can't run away with. To take our ego into consideration, it's our nature, but we have to also understand, what do we benefit as a result of teaching a person not to suppress the ego, not to suppress it, but to use them how to teach them how to use it correctly. I enjoy, let's put it this way, if I have children, and with my big ego, I can go and make a fortune for them and bring it to them. I use it, it's good. I only need, it's not my problem to use the ego. It could be a great asset for everyone. The question is, how do I use it? Does society necessitate me to use it nicely and then I open it up and use it? Or, not such a nice manner, then I run somehow to correct it. It all depends on the social framework. A person is a result of his environment. We talked about it, and we'll talk about it further. And so without pressure, without suppression, without however and whatever we do this in our systems, it seems to me that you're shooting me not directly. Okay. Yes, Owen. Another question, please. You talked about that if in the past people, thanks to the technological development, they had more free time, they started developing science, culture, things that are surplus beyond basic needs, then today, in the free time that we have, we'll start developing an inner industry. I wish that there will be plenty of people. First of all, everyone has to undergo training, courses. Long, lengthy, prolonged studying, convenient, about the new world, about the structure of man, how he's built, his psychology, relations between people, relations between parents and children, between spouses, kids' education, structure of society, the history of the development of the egoistic development. How do we study these global integral systems from a person's body, from the entire universe? A person has to be a bit more developed, but we learn this softly. We learn this without tests, through discussions, mutual consideration, in a group, you know. It's not a classroom that you come, study, go home. No, but you're in this general environment because you have to get to know yourself and the world you live in. It's like with small children, that what do we want from them? We want for them to get to know where they are. And how is it possible to use everything that is in a child's surrounding environment for his well-being, for his own benefit? And so this is what we have to give grown-ups now, something that they were not given. Meaning I and the world. This is actually the teaching. And how is it that I and the world, it has to now become we and the world, and then we and the world becomes one in total, one big general one, something integral. This is what we teach a person. Why? Because the general law of nature is balance, equilibrium, that as a result of this balance, we're in the most convenient state. Everything is drawn towards balance. So we have to show the different laws that exist on the different levels in chemistry, physics, biology, on all the levels to see that it's really so. And then human society has to also be organized correspondingly. And it's not something mystical, it's science, and not because someone feels like it, Lenin or Trotsky feel like realizing it, but because nature necessitates us to do that through the general crisis. It's not that we're communists by Karl Marx, but we learn this from modern life. And we see that in his, and that basically he was right. He was right with respect to the crisis. He didn't really talk about the realization, but the realization, we turn to all the experts in our world. Who else can we believe? Scientists, people of, and then we build everything correspondingly. Maybe a few words about the inner industry. You said that we'll start developing emotional connections between us, between the people, from heart to heart. That it's not necessarily that there will be connections through the internet, but on an emotional level. I don't want to get into it for people not to think that it's mysticism, but the moment we start feeling each other through the mutual love, we can reach, when we'll discover the network of connections between us, inner communications from heart to heart, from mind to mind, where also scientists say that we are connected on a human level, like the field of magnet, of there are other fields. There are other fields of forces. And we know that there is the power of thought, that I can think and suddenly you perceive, you understand, I feel a certain desire in my heart and you discover. We know that there are people in our world that are more connected, not connected, but more, how to say, sensitive, or how to say, are more sensitive to it, that they're capable of it, and they're capable more or less. And here in the attitude, the relations between people, we can develop such a sensitivity where we start feeling each other, even without words. Suddenly I come out to feel the whole of humanity. I start feeling the whole of humanity as my relatives, as my friends, that as if they're really entering deeper and deeper into my heart, and I feel that I'm deeper and deeper in their heart. And then there is a connection between us. Suddenly there is such a kind of connection revealed between us where I'm no longer needy of internet or words or anything else, but this inner language from heart to heart is enough. You know, it's like you look at a couple that love each other. They don't talk. They look at each other and smile, like as if they're, I don't know, fools or something. No, it's enough for them to feel each other in a heartly way. And here we're talking about more serious things. It's not simply the feeling of love. But here we say, we're talking about that all of the internet lines and communications and commerce and culture and education and all of these things, they start being felt in our new inner technology. That suddenly we discover in the connection, inner connection between us, a place where we can build a new humanity, a new world, full of feelings, emotions, thoughts, mutual thoughts. And there inside us, in this feeling, we really built a whole entire world. And then these relations will fill us instead of music and literature and movies. Everything's going to be there. I don't have to, how to put it, I don't have to make these external signs in order to be inspired by these different inner forms of connections between us. What do all the artistic forms talk about? Man's inspiration. Then this is how I'll feel it. Why develop technologies and so on and so forth? All in all, for the necessary needs, basic needs, and then enjoy life. What is pleasure? Pleasure is abstract. I can enjoy without making around me mountains of metal and concrete and so on. I can do it in a much simpler way. The main thing is the inner fulfillment. This is what a person lives for. What does a rich person have? In the bank, he has a sum with 10 zeros, suppose, and he has a feeling in his heart. The feeling is what's important. Suppose this whole sum was already stolen from him, and he doesn't know. He continues with that feeling. You see, we can give a person such a fulfillment that he simply does not need more than this animalistic body being alive, and his fulfillment as man constantly grows. At the beginning of the conversation, you said that plenty of people today in the world, different places, feel despair. And it's true, according to statistics. Yeah, I wanted to say it's true with respect to statistics and so on. But on the other hand, let's not say that everyone today feels despair. That's not exact. There are many people who also don't feel despair. That's not the problem. The problem is that we become accustomed to things. I remember my grandfather, he was a very modest person. It's not that he was lacking something, but he was very modest. He had like a mattress with this... it had this bent, this dent, and I think that his body got the same dent as that mattress. I told him, I'll bring you a new mattress, a dream. You'll feel that you're in heaven instead of lying in some pit. No, it's fine. I became used to it. He puts exactly his rib into it and sleeps well. So it doesn't mean that it's a good life, but it's a habit. A person gets used to things. People get used to arguing with each other a bit, to be in a kind of a strife. Different things in life, and then the habit becomes a second nature. And then he takes the off the negative things from it as if that this is something that is, you know, normal. I remember that I used to visit my relatives in Canada, and their relatives from Russia came. It's like, it's in the 90s of the 20th century, where there was a big revolution in Russia and everything broke. They had nothing to eat. And he invited them to visit for a month. And they lived at his place. And I talked to them, and they told me that he took them for the first time in their life. that they didn't know that in Russia such thing exists. He took them to the supermarket, a shop with food, but a big shop. They came in there and went out. They couldn't be there. They said that it was so painful for them. This abundance was so painful for them that they couldn't stand it. They felt like disconnecting from it, letting it go, running away from it. Because a person who is accustomed to coming and barely having some piece of bread, sausage or something, if it does exist in the shop, maybe back then that didn't exist either. And he comes and sees 30 kinds of breads, 30 kinds of sausages. Just come, take, and they'll thank you for it, and you get a cart, and they'll take you to your car and put it into your car. They're not used to that. Now, take that same Canadian to Russia, that he enters a shop there, and maybe there is some kind of a piece of dry sausage there and bread from I don't know what it's made from. We're talking about those times back then. He'll think that prison in Canada is better. There you get bananas, different things, and here what? This is life. And if you'll ask the Russians that live there in that same place, they'll say, it's okay, but what can you do? We'll get along. I remember I asked my student who was back there. He said, everything's organized. I understand that there is winter ahead of me, but I have 2 sacks of potatoes and 1 sack of and 1 sack of cabbage. 3 sacks, and I know that I will go through winter. See what the person thinks about life, that it's enough for him in order not to... This is something that he will have. Now tell it to some Canadian. He won't even understand this level of life. Go to Africa, see how they live, $1 a day. You'll see that there, you know, it's... Can I tell an African child, like I tell my grandchild, that if you won't eat good, then I won't take you to the zoo? Will an African child ever hear that? What will he be told? Go to the safari. You see? We have to understand that people, they become used to trouble, and the habit erases the feeling of sorrow. I talked to a person who sat for 20 or 25 years in Russia, in Siberia, in prison, in the labor camps. He came out of there. He didn't want to go out. He doesn't understand how can he get along in the world, because the whole world is there. And next to the prison, there was a village entirely, completely made of those, consisting of those people that came out of prison and didn't want to go anywhere. They already settled there and lived there and finished their life there. There in Siberia, I don't know, some remote place, nothing. But they couldn't think, how can they get along in this world? Here, everything's clear, everything's mine. A person, he's not built according to a dry calculation. Here I'll have this, there I'll have that. He is nourished by inner warmth, habit, the place, the everything. So you can't come now according to your statistics and say, I don't feel that people feel bad. They feel good. They're used to it. They don't understand what's opening up before them on the one hand. On the other hand, we can't come to them and say, what, you don't understand? And, but we're coming to a crisis. We're coming to a person just a bit advance the whole thing to show him how things are supposed to be, or what is the situation, how things could be, that there could be ever worse situations, and thus it is beneficial for us to start the education now, before the riots and civil wars in the countries. Let's start educating the people. And so on. But all layers of population that feel the crisis, we can turn to them. Those that can't get along as families, those that have problems with kids' education, those that are unemployed, you can reach the golden age as a result of them still having the strength and still have a desire to participate, but no one, you know, deals with them. So you have, besides, the active part in human society, you have many other people that you can treat even now. And the active part from them, you will soon get from there as unemployed up to 90%. Meaning already now we can start introducing this attitude into society. What is the summary for our meeting today? The summary is that according to all that we see, nature is advancing us to a state where we ourselves will have to decide about our next step in our development. We always develop blindfoldedly. Now we'll have to develop ourselves, build the next step for ourselves. We're building it, and it's not that we're pushed toward it, but we discover how bad we feel now in order to move on to the good future, and we can't move into the good future but through desire, recognition, and building it ourselves. And here we'll step on the spot until we'll discover the crisis to an extent where it will necessitate us to build the next step, meaning to build happy humanity by which we will reach balance with the general nature. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you for being with us. Come again. It's going to be interesting. Till then, all the best and goodbye.